Governor Markell had mentioned the economic impact that the arts has had here in the first state. The nonprofit arts, a $142 million industry, about 4,000 jobs, almost $10 million in state and local revenue. As you've traveled through the country, have you continued to see people perhaps underestimate the arts' ability to be an economic engine?
Sometimes people don't realize the impact that the arts can make in sparking the vitality in the community, not only for the beauty of it, but also on through hard dollars economically. It used to be, if you looked at the history of downtowns, so much was driven a generation or two ago by how much of a product you could export to another location. But after everybody went to the suburbs and then started realizing that there was still a need for a pulse or a heartbeat for the city, downtowns became recognized again as that place to provide a pulse or a heartbeat, and the arts have been at the center of that because there's something about the arts that not only sparks those hard dollars and people coming in to spend more money, there's something about people saying, I want to be there again. So the arts are now recognized as a strategy as much as anything else, even economically, that would lure people back to saying, this is a place where I belong.
And part of that we see here at Wilmington with the Wilmington Creative District and an effort to lure artists here to work, live, and play. How important is that to have those type of concepts being developed within cities, not just to draw people to come see the arts or participate in the arts, but to actually have artists within communities?
We recognize nationally that it's absolutely critical because the artists, so many artists are able to create with whatever they've been given, and artists that come into a community that are able to just build that meaning. They've listened to the community and said, what's special for you? And then they just create, it creates a vibrancy and it draws people. People love to watch artists create. And so there's just, again, something like a magnet going on.
I was going to say, Paul, this is a relatively new thing that's going on with the Wilmington Creative District. And already we've seen some pretty concrete results. Have you been perhaps pleasantly surprised with how quickly the concept has started to create a close to a critical mass?
Yes. And I would say one of the greatest spinoffs of the Creative District and that kind of activity is seeing the synergy that it creates between entities that didn't previously collaborate, not for any reason other than they didn't, between city officials, local businesses, the artists in the community, and the arts organizations. It really creates a sort of a magnet of drawing those entities together for a common purpose. And I think we see here and you see nationally that urban areas that are busy with activity, the community takes more pride in those communities. And ultimately, there's with that additional activity comes a feeling of more safety and pride.
I would echo what Paul said because one of the things we see is around an arts project, you've got entities that traditionally have not worked together. So all of a sudden now we have these grants that are for arts projects in various communities, and hospitals and worship houses and companies, our libraries, they're all working together for the same arts project. So the arts not only has an opportunity to spark the vitality and make people say, I want to be there too, probably bring in some tourism, they have an opportunity also to bring the community together in a natural way.
And how critical are they to building more grassroots support for arts and also building in, particularly in a city like Wilmington, diversity within the arts and bringing in the different communities?
We've seen the Wilmington Creative Cultural District do such a great job in that very thing in terms of honoring diversity, making sure that all are involved. But one of the things they've done so well here is that they listened. Even the public murals projects that are going on, they went to the communities in that area, like the wonderful veterans mural that mm-hmm. we saw, talking with the veterans and saying, what's meaningful about the way you want to express in this mural? And so there's stories within the mural all up and down that wall that represent some of the experiences that veterans have gone through. And what a wonderful way to express it and also honor and celebrate the work that they've done.
And I would just add to that that what it allows for is art in public places that is not art that is presented to the community, but it's art that is created by the community.
I do want to talk a little bit about financial support for the arts. So one of the things you talked about in the town hall was the state support that Delaware has given to the arts. I imagine that's been, Paul, critical, particularly in recent years. We saw right after the Great Recession, the Delaware Symphony Orchestra had to suspend a season at one point because of financial difficulties. We saw the Delaware Art Museum sell off some of its works because they had to deal with a debt. They've recovered, but do we see the importance of making sure that, there is some, whether it be the NEA federally or the state here locally, need to make sure that there is that base of support for the arts to sustain it?
Oh, absolutely. And that really was the catalyst behind the institution of the Delaware Arts Trust Fund, which in essence doubled our grant budget, because it was in those economic hard times, there was that recognition that these arts institutions support jobs, they support economic activity in their communities, and in order to sustain those through those economic hard times, the governor and the Secretary of State moved with the General Assembly to increase that grant line, recognizing that there is an economic impact on our communities by the activity of the arts institutions. So, yeah, it absolutely has been a conscious effort on the part of this administration to support that.
Are stories like those ones still cautionary tales about how fragile arts organizations can be without the right support?
Indeed, we want to pay attention to making sure that there's a structure, an infrastructure that is supportive of the arts. If you look at for-profit businesses and nonprofit for example, we're focused on the arts. In a good economy, there are always kind of exits and entries of various businesses, and they're pretty even when it comes to for-profit versus nonprofit. But when the economy is slow, nonprofit arts organizations take a greater hit. One of the things that Delaware does so well is that they work together. They collaborate. So you don't have, for example, some public funding over in this corner, and over there you have private funding in that corner. And local municipalities, local governments, you've got individual donors. You have, instead, in Delaware, people coming together to say, well, let's create that structure together, as opposed to either or. And that's the kind of funding that makes arts organizations much stronger over the long haul, and something that you can depend on.
I do want to touch on arts and education. You mentioned in the town hall the importance of that and what we've seen in terms of what studies have shown about achievement and the arts. Is that making it a bit of an easier sell, even again in tough economic times where schools may look at that budget and say, like, well, do we need the arts? You mentioned the idea of arts being a frill and extra. Are you starting to see that tide turn a little bit now?
We have been heartened by several things. Well, so first of all, we were very concerned nationally when we started seeing schools cut out the arts whenever they needed to cut out their budget, when we thought it was one of the most affordable ways to even the playing field and give people and students an opportunity to thrive, not only in the arts, but academically and socially, because we've seen way too many strong relationships between those entities and those categories of academic, social, and the arts, where it's all integrated together. One of the things we did, we ran in and started providing collective impact grants, where we're able to support, say, a school district that is connected to community arts organizations that are all together, and we've been giving collective impact grants for the last year, and much larger grants than the typical average National Endowment for the Arts grants. But we are now also appreciative of the Every Student Succeeds Act, because it's including on a national level the recognition of how the arts play a role in a student's life, not only for the arts, but with engineering and math and technology. So we are heartened by the recognition of it, and so I think we're going in the right direction.
Was it also important at that level to create the next generation of artists and art supporters through education, through the engagement of kids with the arts?
Oh, absolutely. As a former history teacher and now the director of a state arts agency, I can speak to the importance of arts education for our youth, for the child who ultimately will become the performer, to the child that will ultimately become the audience or the volunteer at the local community theater or local art guild. I think it's incredibly important, and also in the learning process. And one thing I'm very proud of in Delaware is the relationship that the Division of the Arts has with the State Department of Education. We work very closely with each other. We frequently sponsor professional development opportunities that bring teachers together with teaching artists so that they can both learn how to better integrate the arts into their instruction and into the learning curriculum for students.